Hey Kitty, we're starting chapter 20 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, called Hagrid's Tale. Harry sprinted up to the boys' dormitory to fetch the invisibility cloak and the Marauder's map from his trunk. He was so quick that he and Ron were ready to leave at least 5 minutes before Hermione hurried back from the girls' dormitories, wearing scarf, gloves, and one of her own knobbly elf hats. "Well, it's cold out there," she said defensively as Ron clicked his tongue impatiently. They crept through the portrait hole and covered themselves hastily in the cloak. Ron had grown so much he now needed to crouch to prevent his feet showing. And then, moving slowly and cautiously, they proceeded down the many staircases, pausing at intervals to check for the map for signs of Filch or Mrs. Norris. They were lucky. They saw nobody but nearly headless Nick, who was gliding along absent-mindedly, humming something that sounded horribly like "Weasley is our king." They crept across the entrance hall, and then out into the silent, snowy grounds. With a great leap of his heart, Harry saw the little golden squares of light ahead, and smoke coiling up from Hagrid's chimney. He set off at a quick march, the other two jostling and bumping along beside him, and they crunched excitedly through the thickening snow until at last they reached the wooden front door. When Harry raised his fist and knocked 3 times, a dog started barking frantically inside. "Hagrid, it's us," Harry called through the keyhole. "Should have known," said a gruff voice. They beamed at one another under the cloak. They could tell that Hagrid was pleased. "Been home 3 seconds. Out of the way, Fang. Out of the way, you dozy dog." The bolt was drawn back, the door creaked open, and Hagrid's head appeared in the gap. Hermione screamed. "Merlin's beard, keep it down," said Hagrid, hastily staring wildly over their heads. "Under the cloak, are you? Well, get in, get in." "I'm sorry," Hermione gasped, as the three of them squeezed past Hagrid into the house and pulled off the cloak themselves so he could just see them. "It's just, oh, Hagrid."
It's nothing," said Hagrid hastily, shutting the door behind them and hurrying to close the curtains, but Hermione continued to gaze up at him in horror.
Hagrid's hair was matted with congealed blood, and his left eye had been reduced to a puffy slit amid a mass of purple and black bruises. There were many cuts on his face and hands, some of them still bleeding. He was moving gingerly, which made Harry suspect broken ribs. It was obvious that he had only just got home. A thick black traveler's cloak lay over the back of a chair, and a haversack large enough to carry several small children leaned against the wall inside the door. Hagrid himself, twice the size of a normal man and 3 times as broad, was now limping over to the fire and placing a copper kettle over it.
"What happened to you?" Harry demanded, while Fang danced all around them, trying to lick their faces.
"Told you nothing," Hagrid said firmly. "Want a cuppa?"
"Come off it," said Ron. "You're in a right state."
"I'm telling you, I'm fine," said Hagrid, straightening up and turning to beam at them all, but wincing.
"Blimey, it's good to see you three again. Had good summers, did you?"
"Hagrid, you've been attacked," said Ron.
"For the last time, it's nothing," said Hagrid firmly.
"Would you say it was nothing if one of us turned up with a pound of mince instead of a face?"
"You ought to go see Madame Pomfrey, Hagrid," said Hermione anxiously. "Some of those cuts look right nasty."
"I'm dealing with it, all right," said Hagrid repressively. He walked across the enormous wooden table that stood in the middle of his cabin, and twitched aside a tea towel that had been lying on it. Underneath was a raw, bloody, ginger-tinged steak, slightly larger than the average car tire.
"You're not going to eat that, are you, Hagrid?" said Ron, leaning in for a closer look. "It looks poisonous."
"It's supposed to look like that. It's dragon meat," said Hagrid, "and I didn't get it to eat." He picked up the steak and slapped it over the left side of his face. Greenish blood trickled into his beard as he gave a soft moan of satisfaction.
"That's better. Helps with the stinging, you know."
"So are you going to tell us what's happened to you?" Harry asked.
"Can't, Harry. Top secret. More of my job's worth to tell you that."
I like how he says that, and then you know he's going to tell them.
Especially since the entire chapter is entitled Hagrid's Tale. So if he just was like, can't tell you, see you later, then it wouldn't be a very good chapter.
"Did the giants beat you up, Hagrid?" said Hermione quietly.
Hagrid's fingers slipped on the dragon's steak, and it slid squelchily onto his chest. "Giants," said Hagrid, catching the steak before it reached his belt and slapping it back on his face. "Who said anything about giants? What have you been? Who have you been talking to? Who's told you I've? Who said I've been?" "Eh, we guessed," said Hermione apologetically. "Oh yeah, you did you?" said Hagrid, fixing her sternly with the eye that was not hidden by the stake. "It was kind of obvious," said Ron, and Harry nodded. Hagrid glared at them, and then snorted, threw the stake onto the table again, and strode back to the kettle, which was now whistling. "Never known kids like you three for knowing much more than you ought to," he muttered, splashing boiling water into three of his bucket-shaped mugs. "And I'm not complimenting you, neither. Nosy, some called it. Interfering." His beard twitched. "So have you been looking? Have you been to look for giants?" said Harry, grinning as he sat down at the table. Hagrid set tea in front of each of them, sat down, picked up his steak again, and slapped it back over his face. "Yeah, all right," he grunted. "I have," and there goes his job. "And you found them?" Hermione said in a hushed voice. "Well, they're not difficult to find, to be honest," said Hagrid. "Pretty big, you see." "Where are they?" said Ron. "Mountains," said Hagrid unhelpfully. "So why don't muggles?" "They do," said Hagrid darkly. "Only their deaths are always put down to mountaineering accidents, aren't they?" He adjusted the stake a little so that it covered the worst of the bruising. "Come on, Hagrid, tell us what you've been up to," said Ron. "Tell us about being attacked by the giants, and Harry can tell you about being attacked by the Dementors." Hagrid choked in his mug and dropped his stake at the same time. A large quantity of spit, tea, and dragon blood was sprayed over the table as Hagrid coughed and spluttered, and the stake slid, with a soft splat, onto the floor. "What do you mean, attacked by Dementors?" growled Hagrid. "Didn't you know?" Hermione asked him, wide-eyed. "I don't know anything that's been happening since I left. I was on a secret mission, wasn't I? Didn't want owls following me all over the place. Ready, Dementors, you're not serious?" "Yeah, I am. They turned up in Little Whinging and attacked my cousin and me. And then the Ministry of Magic expelled me." "What?" Hagrid cried. "And I had to go to a hearing and everything. But tell us about the giants first," Harry finished. "You were expelled?" Hagrid asked. "Tell us about your summer, and I'll tell you about mine." Hagrid glared at him through one open eye. Harry looked right back, an expression of innocent determination on his face. "Oh, all right," Hagrid said in a resigned voice. He bent down and tugged the dragon steak out of Fang's mouth. "Oh, Hagrid, don't. It's not hygienic," Hermione began, but Hagrid had already slapped the meat back over his swollen eye. He took another fortifying gulp of tea and then said, "Well, we set off right after term ended." "Madame Maxine went with you then?" Hermione interjected. "Yeah, that's right," said Hagrid, and a softened expression appeared on the few inches of face that were not obscured by beard or green steak. "Yeah, it was just the pair of us, and I'll tell you this, she's not afraid of roughing it, Olympe. You know, she's a fine, well-dressed woman. And knowing where we was going, I wondered how she'd feel about climbing over boulders and sleeping in caves, but she never complained once." "You knew where you were going?" Harry asked. "You knew where the giants were?" "Well, Dumbledore knew, and he told us," said Hagrid. "Are they hidden?" asked Ron. "Is it a secret where they are?" "Not really," said Hagrid, shaking his shaggy head. "It's just that most wizards aren't even bothered where they are, as long as it's a good long way away. But where they are is very difficult to get to, for humans anyway, and we needed Dumbledore's instructions. It took us about a month to get there." "A month," said Ron, as though he'd never heard of a journey lasting such a ridiculously long time. "But why couldn't you just grab a port key or something?" There was an odd expression in Hagrid's unobscured eye as he squinted at Ron. It was almost pitying. "We're being watched, Ron," he said gruffly. "What do you mean?" "You don't understand," said Hagrid. "The Ministry's keeping an eye on Dumbledore and anyone they reckon is in league with him, and..." "We know about that," said Harry quickly, keen to hear the rest of Hagrid's story. "So we know about the Ministry watching Dumbledore." "So you couldn't use magic to get there?" asked Ron, looking thunderstruck. "You had to act like muggles all the way?" "Well, not exactly all the way," said Hagrid cagily. "We just had to be careful, because Limpin and me, we stick out a bit." Ron made a stifled noise somewhere between a snort and a sniff, and hastily took a gulp of tea. "So we're not hard to follow.
We was pretending we were going on holiday together. So we got into France, and we made like we was heading for Olympus school, because we knew it was being tallied by someone from the ministry. We had to go slow, because I'm not supposed to use magic, and we knew the ministry would be looking for a reason to run us in. We managed to give the Burke tailing us a slip around about Dijon. Ooh, Dijon, said Hermione excitedly. I've been there on holiday. Did you see? She fell silent at the look on Ron's face. We chanced a bit of magic after that. It wasn't a bad journey. Ran through a couple of mad trolls on the Polish border, and I had a slight disagreement with a vampire in a pub in Minsk. Apart from that, couldn't have been smoother. And then we reached the place, and we started trekking up through the mountains looking for signs of them. We had to lay off the magic once we got near them, partly because they don't like wizards. We didn't want to put their backs up too soon, partly because Dumbledore warned us about you-know-who was bound to be after the giants and all. Said it was odds on he'd sent a messenger off to them already. Told us to be careful of drawing attention to ourselves as we got nearer in the case there was Death Eaters around. Hagrid paused for a long draught of tea. Go on, said Harry urgently. Found him, said Hagrid baldly. Went over a ridge one night, and there they was, spread out underneath us, little fires burning below, huge shadows. It's like watching bits of the mountain moving. How big are they? Asked Ron in a hushed voice. About 20 feet, Hagrid said casually. Some of the bigger ones might be 25. And how many were there? Asked Harry. I reckon about 70 or 80, said Hagrid. Is that all? Hermione said. Yep, said Hagrid sadly. 80 left. There was loads once, but must have been 100 different tribes all over the world. They've been dying out for ages. Wizards killed a few, of course. Mostly they killed each other. Now they're dying out faster than ever. They're not made to live bunched up like that. Dumbledore says it's our fault. It was the wizards who forced them to go and made them live a good long way from us. They had no choice but to stick together for their own protection. So, said Harry, you saw them, and then what? Well, we waited for morning. Didn't want to go sneaking up on them from the dark for our safety, said Hagrid. About 3 in the morning, they fell asleep just where they were sitting. We didn't dare sleep. For one thing, we wanted to make sure none of them woke up and came up where we were. And for another, the snoring was unbelievable, causing the avalanche near morning. Anyway, once it was light, we went down to see him. Just like that, said Ron, looking awestruck. You just walked right into a giant camp? Well, Dumbledore told us how to do it. Give the Gurg gifts, show some respect, you know. Give the what gifts? Asked Harry. Oh, the Gurg means the chief. How could you tell which one was the Gurg? Asked Ron. Hagrid grunted in amusement. No problem, he said. He was the biggest, the ugliest, and the laziest, sitting there waiting for food to be brought by the others, dead goats and such like. Name Carcass. I put him at 22, 23 feet in the weight of a couple of bull elephants, skin like rhino hide and all. And you just walked up to him? Said Hermione breathlessly. Well, down to him. He was lying in the valley. There was this dip between 4 high, pretty high mountains, see, beside a mountain lake, and Carcass was lying by the lake roaring at the others to feed him and his wife. Limp and I went down the mountainside. But didn't they try to kill you when they saw you? Asked Ron, incredulously. It was definitely on their minds, said Hagrid, shrugging, but we did what Dumbledore told us to do, which was to hold our gifts up high, keep our eyes on the Gurg, and ignore the others, so that's what we did. The rest of them went quiet and watched as we passed. We went right up to Carcass's feet, and we bowed and we put our present down in front of him. What can you give a giant? Asked Ron eagerly. Food? Yeah, he can get all the food right from himself, said Hagrid. We took him magic. Giants like magic, just don't like us using it against them. Anyway, that first day we gave him a bunch of Grabthian fire. Sorry, Gubrathian fire. Hermione said, wow, softly, but Harry and Ron both frowned in puzzlement. A branch of... Everlasting fire, said Hermione irritably. You ought to know that by now. Professor Flitwick's mentioned it at least twice in class. Yeah, they totally don't pay any attention whatsoever to anything. It's like they're totally not curious about this incredible world of magic that they're in. All they want to do is, like, dick around. It's so weird. You should learn magic and dick around with that. You can dick around twice as good. Well, anyway, said Hagrid quickly, intervening before Ron could answer back. Dumbledore had bewitched this branch to burn evermore, which isn't something any wizard could do. And so I lies it down from the snow by Carcass's feet and said, a gift to the Gurgs of the giants. From Albus Dumbledore, he sends his respectful greetings. And what did Carcass say? Asked Harry eagerly. Nothing, said Hagrid. Didn't speak English.
Your kin. Didn't matter, said Hagrid imperturbably. Dumbledore had warned us this might have happened. Carcass knew enough to yell for a couple of giants who knew our lingo, and they translated it for us.
Did he like the present? Asked Ron.
Oh yeah, it went down a storm once they understood what it was, said Hagrid, turning his dragon stake over to press the cooler side to his swollen eye.
Very pleased. So then I said, Albus Dumbledore, ask the Gurg to speak with his messenger when he returns tomorrow with another gift.
Why couldn't you speak to them that day? Hermione asked.
Dumbledore wanted to take it very slow, said Hagrid. Let him see we kept our promises. We'll come back tomorrow with another present. And then we'll come back with another present. It gives a good impression, see? And gives him time to test out the first present and find if it's a good one. And get him eager for more. In any case, giants like Carcass. Overload him with information, they'll kill you just to simplify things. So we bowed out of the way and went off and found ourselves a nice little cave to spend the night in. And the following morning, we went back at this time and found Carcass sitting up waiting for us, looking all eager.
And you talked to him?
Oh yeah, first we presented him with a nice battle helmet, goblin made, and indestructible, you know. And then we sat down and talked.
What did he say?
Not much, said Hagrid. Listened mostly. There were good signs. He'd heard of Dumbledore. He'd heard he'd argued against the killing of the last of the giants in Britain. Carcass seemed to be quite interested in what Dumbledore had to say. A few of the others, especially the ones who had some English, they gathered round to listen too. We were hopeful when they left that day. Promised to come back the next day with another present. That night, it all went wrong.
What do you mean? Said Ron quickly.
Well, like I say, they're not meant to live together, giants, said Hagrid sadly. Not in big groups like that. Can't help themselves. They have to kill each other every few weeks. The men fight each other. And the women fight each other. And the remnants of the old tribe fight each other. And that's even without squabbles over food and the best fires and sleeping spots. You'd think, seeing as their whole race is about finished, they'd lay off each other, but...
Hagrid sighed deeply.
That night, a fight broke out. We saw it from the mouth of our cave, looking down in the valley. Went on for hours. You wouldn't believe the noise. When the sun came up, the snow was scarlet, and his head was lying at the bottom of the lake.
Whose head? Gasped Hermione.
Carcasses, said Hagrid heavily. There was a new Gurg, Golgamath. He sighed deeply. We hadn't bargained on a new Gurg 2 days after we made friendly contact with the first one. We had a funny feeling Golgamath wouldn't be so keen to listen to us, but we had to try.
You went to speak to him? Said Ron incredulously. After you'd watched him rip off another giant's head?
Of course we did, said Hagrid. We hadn't gone all that way to give up after 2 days. We went down with the next present we'd meant to give to Carcass. I knew it was no go after I'd opened his mouth. He was sitting there wearing Carcass's helmet, leering at us as we got nearer. He's massive, one of the biggest ones there. Black hair, matching teeth, and a necklace of bones. Human-looking bones, some of them. But I gave it a go, held out a great roll of dragon skin. Said a gift for the Gurg of the Giants. Next thing I knew, I was hanging upside down by me feet. Two of his mates had grabbed me.
Hermione clapped her hands to her mouth. How'd you get out of that? Asked Harry.
Wouldn't have done if Olympia hadn't been there, she said Hagrid. She pulled out her wand and did some of the fastest spell work I've ever seen. Ready, marvelous. Hit the two holding me straight in the eyes with conjunctivitis curses. They dropped me straight away, but we were in trouble then, as we'd used magic against them. That's what giants hate about wizards. We had to leg it up, and we knew there'd be no way we was going to be able to match. I'll march into camp again.
Blimey, Hagrid, said Ron quietly.
So how come it's taken you so long to get home if you're only there for 3 days? Hermione asked.
We can leave after 3 days, said Hagrid, looking outraged. Dumbledore was relying on us.
You said there was no way we could go back.
Not by daylight, we couldn't know. We just had to rethink a bit. Spent the next couple of days lying low in the cave and watching. What we saw wasn't good.
Did he rip off more heads? Asked Hermione, sounding squeamish.
No, said Hagrid, but I wish he had.
What do you mean?
I mean, we soon found out he didn't object to all wizards, just us.
Death Eaters? Said Harry quickly.
Yep, said Hagrid darkly. A couple of them were visiting him every day, bringing gifts to the Gurg, and he wasn't dangling them upside down.
How do you know they were Death Eaters? Said Ron. because I recognized one of them. Hagrid growled. McNair, remember him? Book they sent to kill Buckbeak? Maniac he is. Likes killing as much as Golgamath. No wonder they were getting on so well. So McNair's persuaded the giants to join you-know-who, said Hermione desperately. Hold your hippogriffs, I haven't finished my story yet, said Hagrid indignantly, who, considering he had not wanted to tell them anything in the first place, now seemed to be rather enjoying himself. And maybe at this point, while he's enjoying himself, we'll stop and continue next time.
Hope you like that story, kitty.
And we'll finish the story next time. Oh my god. Okay.
I love you so much, baby girl. Sleep well, kitten boo. Good night.